summer and transition as we're looking toward a new church year. I heard a story one time of a guy by the name of Jake. He was a game warden. He was always amazed about his friend Sam. Sam would show up after a full day of fishing. He always had a long string full of fish, whereas some other folks wouldn't come back with anything. And he knew this lake was loaded with fish, but Sam always just seemed to have the biggest fish. And so he asked him, he said, "Sam, what's your secret? I want to know what your secret is." He said, "You show up tomorrow, we'll go fishing, and I'll show you." So the next morning, they showed up before dawn, started out, about 30, 40 minutes out on a secluded part of the lake. They stopped, turned the motor off, and sat there and quietly listened and made sure nobody else was around. So Jake, the game warden, said, "I'm just going to watch this. I'm going to see what he does." So Sam, he got all of his tackle box out and got all of his equipment and everything else. And he reached in his tackle box and he pulled out, lit a stick of dynamite and threw it up in the air and landed in the water. Went boom! And as soon as that thing exploded in the air, I mean just this big explosion, fish of all sizes began floating and, you know, up on lake. He just began scooping up all the fish. The big ones anyway. And without a word, he began to row over and sort of get. And Jake, he was just the game board. He was all upset. Man, he began screaming. He says, "You can't do that. That's against the law. I'm going to throw the book at you. I'm going to throw you in jail." And he just went on and on and on. About that time, Sam reached back in his toolbox, tackle box, and pulled out another stick of dynamite, lit it, and handed it to Jake, the game warden. And he said, "You going to sit there and talk, or you going to fish?" You know, we wonder sometimes, what's the secret? Sometimes the secret may be something we never thought about. But sometimes it's something that's all not meant to be a secret at all. But yet we allow the devil to give us the lie that it's something that none of us are supposed to be able to do. When it comes to serving God, when it comes to being the child of God, there's something that I believe the Word of God gives us, and we can call it a secret, but it's not meant in the sense of trying to keep it from you. But it's meant in the sense that a lot of people just don't understand it. A lot of people don't take time to figure it out, what it means when it comes to serving the Lord. We'll find in our text this morning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I hope you have found that passage. And if you would, to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'll give us clearness of understanding this morning about what I believe is one of the most misunderstood parts of the Word of God, the misunderstood parts of the Christian life. And Lord, I pray that we'll find through the Holy Spirit speaking to us this morning to find that secret for which we've longed for, of what it means to serve you, and what it means to live for you and minister in your name. Well, I pray, Lord, you draw us all close to you, and whatever we need to do to be right with you today, I pray we do it. And this I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. I contend to you that one of the greatest playgrounds for the devil for lies is found within the walls of the church. Doesn't take much to convince lost people to stay away from God. But once people come to know the Lord and begin to follow Him and serve Him, the devil knows he can't get your soul. He can't get you to serve Him anymore. But he'll try to get you to be ineffective for the Lord. It's like playing chess. It's like getting into a stalemate. And what the devil does, he accomplishes this in many ways. And to be honest with you, it doesn't take much sometimes to get us discouraged, to get us distracted, because the devil's got a lot of resources in order to make that happen. Anything he can use to keep us from being effective and active in the work of God, he'll do it. He'll use sports, television, he'll use hobbies, he'll use our families. He'll take those things that God has given us for good, and he'll take and cause us to become so obsessed with them that they keep us from having any time of serving the Lord, and we always turn around, well, I can't serve God, I don't have time. Got all this to do. But then there's a group of people who want to serve God. I mean, they show up for church, they tithe, and they even come and volunteer, but then they don't know what to do. And he begins to lie to those people too. He tries to convince them that, oh, unless you go to seminary, unless you got a degree, unless you're ordained, unless you're on staff, you can't do anything for God. Many times people believe the lies. They quit. They quit serving God. They quit being involved. They decide they'll just show up and then go home. And never ever learn the secret of joy and happiness in serving God. Let's make a distinction this morning. There are, thank God, some of us like pastors and evangelists and missionaries who are called to the ministry this morning and serving God in those areas. But let me remind you that every Christian is also called this morning to a ministry. And while it may not be your full-time job, it is your lifetime calling. And God wants you to be involved in the ministry of God. Every person within the body of Christ is called into the ministry, into a ministry of serving Him. We know Ephesians 2:8-9, it tells us about what it means and how to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you know, the very next verse in verse 10 tells us why we're saved. Paul says that in verse 10 of Ephesians 2. He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained so that we should walk in them. He says in Ephesians 4:11-12 that the pastors have been called by God for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Simply put, God saved you so that He could use you in a ministry. And yet the tragedy is that many people, week after week, month after month, year after year of their Christian walk with God, have never found anything to do. They let everybody else do it. And we live in a culture of church culture today that just allows us to go and we're going to go find and hire people to do everything in the church. We'll hire people, we'll pay staff members, and they'll do it all. And the rest of us just show up and just watch the show every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. And the tragedy of that is, that's not the biblical direction of the church. And that's not the giftedness that God's given you. I'm going to show you from the Word of God this morning what I have titled in my message, The Great Misunderstanding. The great misunderstanding of the Christian life is the fact that I can't do anything for God. God, save me, and I'm here, I guess, and I'll do the best I can. I'll figure it out along the way, and I'll just pray for those that God's set aside to do certain special, wonderful things. Well, I want to tell you something. God has set aside every single one of you for certain special, wonderful things. And when you understand that truth this morning, when you understand that God has specially gifted every child of God this morning to do something for Him, it'll give you joy and happiness in the work of God and in the church like you've never known it before. It's a secret that God's not trying to keep secret from you, but it's one that the devil has tried over and over to try to get us to misunderstand. In this passage, Paul is writing to correct the error in the church at Corinth. Because to them, they thought, well, I'm not Paul, I'm not Apollos, I'm not one of the disciples, so evidently there's nothing for me to do. And Paul writes this and begins to give a teaching on what we call spiritual gifts to help us to understand and to correct this misunderstanding and to battle against the lie that God has given to say that you're not important, you have nothing to do. I contend to you, based on the authority of the Word of God, that the moment of your salvation, God also gifted you with spiritual gifts to use something for His glory. And I'm going to explain it to you this morning and help you understand it. Notice number one. We have to first identify what is a spiritual gift. What is a spiritual gift? Now we're going to go through this pretty quickly, so you just hang on, write it down quickly, and stay with us. But a spiritual gift, what is that? And it's amazing how many people are just not well-versed and really have never been taught these things. I know that as your pastor, in the 15 and a half years I've been here, I'm not going to say I've taught it 15 times, but it's pretty close. At least once a year, and sometimes other times in classes like our new members' classes and others, I feel like that it is my responsibility, based on the authority of the Word of God, that I am to teach you that God's got something He wants you to do. And you don't have to be ordained. You don't have to be paid. You don't have to have reverend in front of your name. You don't have to have a seminary degree in order to serve God. Because the word spiritual gift comes from a Greek phrase that literally means a gift of grace. Now, we know the word grace. We sing about it. We talk about it. We understand what the Bible teaches about grace. Grace is something that we receive from God, something we don't deserve. It's unmerited favor. And so it's because of His grace we're saved. But it's also the same wording when Paul describes spiritual gifts. He uses the word grace to describe this spiritual gift as a gift of grace. It is a divine ability that God has given you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God at the moment of your salvation for you to do something that you couldn't do by yourself, but only God can do through you and through His Holy Spirit work with you. That's called a spiritual gift. Now, we have to understand that this is something that this is designed to make you more like Jesus Christ. All these lists of spiritual gifts, we'll talk about what the gifts are in a minute. Every single one of them was lived out to the fullest by our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. He was the greatest example of carrying those out. And when God gifts you with a particular gift to do something for Him, He's doing it, and when you use it for His glory, you are more like Jesus Christ every moment that you're using your spiritual gift. Spiritual gift is something that you don't sign up for. You don't look at the Bible and look at the list and say, oh, I'll have that one, as if you're going to the buffet over to Golden Corral or something. Yeah, I'll take some of that, and I'll take a double dose of this, and I don't like that kind of stuff. That just doesn't say, I don't want to do that. I'm going to leave that alone. No, it's not like that at all. We just read in this passage that it is the Holy Spirit of God that chooses which gifts He decides to give you, and it is His choice, it is His decision. He's the one that gifts you to do it, dividing, as He says in verse 11, as He wills. So, we must not confuse spiritual gifts with natural talents. A lot of people say, well, they got a spiritual gift of singing. Sorry, but that's not a spiritual gift. We just heard someone who has a natural talent to stand up here and bless us in song before the message, and she used her natural talent. That's not a spiritual gift. Our piano player this morning took and blessed us in music and playing that box with all those white and black keys on it. Playing those keys is not a spiritual gift. It's a talent. And so we've got to understand what the difference is. But God takes the talent that you have, takes that talent you've developed, and sometimes as a natural talent, and develop it even more. He takes that talent and He uses that and puts in a spiritual gift to go with it so that you can use that talent with the spiritual gift to do and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? One of the best illustrations of that is one that I've shared many times, and I read it because it's one of my favorites. And that's the story of Reverend Billy Graham. When they began to go and have their crusades, and when they began to develop and grow the ministry, God led them to a man named George Beverly Shea to join their ministry team. And those of us who have followed the Billy Graham crusade know the wonderful baritone voice of George Beverly Shea. And this wonderful man of God who would get up and sing and bless us in song. But there's a story that a lot of people don't know. Is that Dr. Graham sat down one day with his ministry team and he told everybody. He said, now listen, we go in to have crusades and we invite special guests and special singers and others share their testimony, others to sing specials and all these other wonderful people to sing. He said, but let it be known that just before I preach, the only person that is to sing is George Beverly Shea. And the reason is because when George Beverly Shea sings, he ministers. And I want to make sure that whoever's singing before I preach is ministering and not entertaining. And so if you look back, you don't understand that's the way it was almost every time. George Beverly Shea would sing right before Dr. Graham would preach the gospel. You see, a talent performs, a gift ministers, and that's the difference. God may use your talent that you have to play an instrument, sing a song, or do any number of things, and you take and He infuses that with a divine ability that you could not do on your own, and when He does that, you begin to find the joy and happiness of serving God, of doing something you like to do together with something you couldn't do apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I guess one of the biggest examples is the one that's standing right in front of you this morning. Because when God called me to preach, I thought to myself, Lord, you've really messed up. You know, I know you're perfect, and I know you created the world and the universe and everything else, but you've blown it now. There is no way in this world I could ever stand in front of a group of people and talk. I couldn't give a book report in school. My teachers would have to take me along privately. Outside of class and let me do it because I couldn't stand and talk in front of a crowd. I didn't like it. I broke out in sweat and I'd get nervous and get tongue-tied and I couldn't talk. And there was just no way in the world. But then God saved me. And then God called me to preach. And the first time I stood up and preached, I didn't think I'd ever make it, but I did. And then that was an 8-minute sermon. So I've shared it before. Some of you missed it. That's your fault for not showing up for church. But anyway, I shared that 8-minute sermon one time here before. And the Lord began to give me confidence. Next time I preached 25 minutes. But I had time of my life. And it was on. But you know, that was something that only God could do. It was not something I did naturally. I still get nervous. I still get frustrated. I still am a little shaky sometimes standing in front of some of you people and preaching and everything else. But I have to understand that what I'm doing this morning is not something I could ever do on my own apart from the work of God. What I'm doing this moment and this time, each and every time I stand before you, is a direct result of the divine ability of preaching, of the spiritual gift that God has given me, and it's something I couldn't do by myself, and only God can help me do it. That's why I need you to pray for me every time. That's why I need you on your knees for me throughout the week, praying that God would give me what I need to preach. But then secondly, we see what is a spiritual gift, but who has spiritual gifts? We've already answered this in just a simple way. But notice this, every Christian has a spiritual gift. When God saved you, He not only saved you from your sins, He not only gave you an eternal dwelling place in heaven forever, but He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell in your life. Jesus told His disciples, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to give you another comforter. And the moment of your salvation, God the Holy Spirit moves into your life and indwells you, and He never leaves. That's why you have eternal security. That's why your salvation is eternal.
But also by doing that, God Himself, the Holy Spirit, inside of you is giving you an ability to do something you couldn't do before you got saved. It's a gift of grace. And God comes into your life. 1 Corinthians 7:7, 1 Peter 4:10 tells us that every person, every believer has received a spiritual gift. You say, preacher, I didn't know that. I just thought I got saved and got my fire insurance, you know. I thought I got my ticket to heaven. Well, you got all that, but you got more than that, folks. God didn't leave you here just to take up good space, breathe good oxygen, and get in the way. God left you here to do something. God has given every Christian something to do. He's given you an ability to do something you couldn't do by yourself. And it's called a spiritual gift. You don't use it for selfish purposes. You don't use it to gain attention. You don't use it to impress anybody. But you use it to exhort and to evangelize and to help. And the Holy Spirit gives you this to make you more like Jesus Christ as you serve God every day. That's the secret. And we thought that only people who went to Bible college or seminary could serve God. We thought that only people who grew up in church all their life could serve as a deacon. We thought that only people who did this or that or the other could serve on these committees and work in these certain areas. No. God has given something for everybody to do. But here's the danger of this. Here's the danger of this. Typical churches like ours are content sometimes just to let whoever wants to do something or don't want to do something, just let them get by with that. We go through processes and we try to fill lists of teachers and leaders and workers and so forth, and ministry team and everything from ushers and nursery workers to work with the youth and the children and do all of these kinds of things. And Baptist churches historically have made the tragic mistake of just saying, well, whoever will do it, we'll let you do it. And we never ask them, or never teach them, or never train them that God's gifted you to do something. And here's what happens. Many times we got some good folks just sitting right here this morning. Every single one of you is good-hearted. Every one of you has got a great spirit. And I'm sure if I sat down and asked one of you and I said, listen, I need your help. Would you do something? And you'll sit there and say, preacher, I love you. I'll do whatever I can to help. And you're sitting there thinking, ain't no way. I don't want to do that. I don't feel led to do that. And what happens is we put people in positions of leadership and put people in positions of serving in the church that are not gifted to do those things to start with. And yet they'll do it because nobody else will do it. And they're good-hearted. They're a good old fella. And they'll help out anybody in any time in any way. And they'll step in there and just try to serve. And guess what? That lady gets discouraged because she's doing something that God's not gifted her to do, and she's trying to do it because nobody else will do it and not hurt anybody else's feelings and trying to be neighborly and trying to be helpful. And what happens is we get discouraged, we get frustrated, and yet there's a lot of people who quit churches through the years because they were trying to do things that God hadn't gifted them to do to start with, and yet they're doing it because nobody else will do it. Here's what I believe the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that He's brought this local body of believers, these baptized believers, to form a local church. And in doing so, when He brought you to this church, He also brought with you those spiritual gifts that you have, that He gave you at the moment of your salvation. And when He brought you to this church, and when you said, I feel led to join this church, I feel led to be a member of this church, I feel led to be a part of this church, you know what that means? That means that God has needed your gift in this church. God needs you to use that gift in this church. And so the ministries that God has for this church are set aside by the people that He's led to come here. And the people who obey God in leading and following Him to come here, they come with their spiritual gifts, and God is saying, use them, get busy doing for God what you're supposed to do. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. Good old fellas, bless their hearts. They decide, well, God's gifted me to lead, but I'm not going to lead. So I got something else I want to do. Ladies, God has gifted you to teach, but But you decide you're not going to teach because you got some other reason and you got something else you want to do. God has gifted you to serve and minister and work and share your gifts and use your gifts, and yet you decide, let somebody else do it. Well, wait a minute, God brought you here to do it. And when God's given you a gift to lead, you better get leading. If God's given you a gift to preach, you need to preach. If God's given you a gift to minister, God's given you a gift to lead, God's given you a gift to give, God's given you a gift of wisdom, all of these things, God said use that gift, and when you don't, not only are you suffering, but the entire church suffers. And the body of Christ is not able to fulfill what God wants us to do because you've decided, I'm just not interested. Or I'm mad about something else that happened, and I'm not going to do it. Or I got something other interest in mind, and I'm going to go off and do those things, and I'm not going to use my spiritual gift. And what happens is church leadership starts scrambling trying to find somebody to do something that God's already called somebody else to do, but they're not doing it. Now we got to get somebody who God's not called to do it, God's not gifted to do it, just to fill in so maybe we can get by and get... And listen, that's why churches are floundering. That's why churches are failing. That's why preachers are leaving the ministry after 2 years on an average in a Baptist church. It's because they get frustrated with the garbage that goes on with people who are sitting there with their gifts in their hand and they're not using them for God. Ooh, it got quiet, didn't it? The truth of the matter is, God's Word says that every single one of us has been given a gift. And when you don't use that gift, you're out of the will of God. And it's called sin. It's called backsliding. It's called getting away from God. And it doesn't matter how long your name's been on the roll of this church. But if you're not using your gift for God, you're out of the will of God. Notice the third thing. So what are the gifts? There are 19 different listed gifts. 19. And you could read some different other commentators, and they might give 18. Some of them might give 20 or 21. I chose to, as I studied through all these many years, and I've been putting this together, I'm not saying that I'm perfect in everything, but I really believe, in rightly dividing the Word of God, I believe there are 19 specific gifts listed. Some are listed as serving gifts. Some are listed as leading gifts or ruling gifts. Some are listed as sign gifts that no longer apply to the local church. They were only for the apostles' age. We're not getting into all that kind of stuff. But I believe the Bible lists 19 different gifts. And I believe on the next slide, John, I listed the passage. Yeah, leave that one right there. I don't have time to go through all these. I want you to write these verses down. I want you to read them. Because in these verses, you'll find those 19 listed gifts. Gift of preaching, ministry, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, showing mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of apostleship, which is missionary, the gift of evangelist, the gift of pastor/teacher, the same gift, the gift of hospitality. All of these gifts are listed in these verses. And they demand, and it is worthy of your study, and worthy of your prayer, and worthy of your reading to look over these things. And you look at this, and every one of you sitting here this morning who's genuinely saved, God has given every single one of you at least one of these gifts. Now let me emphasize, God does not give to anybody every gift. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how long you've been a member of the church or how many degrees you have. Nobody has every single gift. There was only one man that walked this earth who had every single gift. He died on a cross and rose from the dead the third day. But God has given every single one of you at least one. Some of you, He's given more than one. He's gifted you. But every single person, you say, preacher, I can't do what you're doing. Thank God for that. Because you know what? I can't do what some of you do. Did you realize that? You know, you've been here long enough. I've been here long enough. You know that. I can't do some things you do. And I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to do what God's given me to do.
And when you look at these passages and you read these gifts and you see these listings and you say, well, what am I supposed to do? There's a reason for all this. Leave that up for just another minute, John, please. These gifts are designed to make you more like Jesus Christ. These gifts are designed for you to serve God in the body of the local church, doing things you couldn't do by yourself. I've met people through the years who they realized that God had given them something special to do. And when they found out what it was, boy, they began serving God, began doing it. And listen, there's some amazing people in this church who can't teach a Sunday school class, but serving God in various ways. There are some people right now that could not, if their life depended on it, stand up here and preach a sermon. But yet God's using you in a wonderful, marvelous way, and you know that, and you're enjoying that, and God's blessing you for that. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. You see, when God brought our church together, as He continues to build, by the way, you know Jesus is the one who builds the church, right? Not the preacher? You understand that, don't you? Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. As Jesus builds His church and as He brings people into our fellowship, He brings them with those gifts that we need. I tell people all the time, when God leads you to join this church, it's for two reasons. One, we've got something in the ministry of this church that you need in your life. Two, you've got something in your life that we need in the ministry of this church. Both of them have to be the same. If that's not the case, you've joined the wrong church. And if you're not going to use your gift to serve God, find another church and use your gift in that church. But don't sit here and not use your gift and sit here and gripe and complain because something don't get done, because something's not being done you think ought to get done. Listen, maybe God's waiting on you to get busy using your gift. So what is the purpose? Here's where I close. You've had a chance. I think you got all those. I want you to notice one of those passages is the book of Ephesians. And I've quoted from here a moment ago. But Ephesians chapter 4 is a beautiful passage. And I want you to turn as I close this message this morning. I told you, if you've been paying attention over the last several services, you'll see how these all are connected. I preached last Sunday morning on, is there a cause? Is there a cause? I preached Sunday night, and I'll finish tonight on the message from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 on the model church. I preached Wednesday night on teamwork. And all these things are connected. All these things are working together. But in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells the church at Ephesus, beginning in verse 11, he says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, that means mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we're henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, that you may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now here it is, verse 16. From whom, that is Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, notice this, unto the edifying of itself in love. The whole body of Christ, using their spiritual gift, fits together like the body fits together. All of your parts of your body. Aren't you glad that He didn't put the arm down here where the leg's supposed to go? Aren't you glad that the ear is not stuck out here where the nose is supposed to go? That looked really funny, yeah? I'm glad He didn't put the nose on top of the head, you know? So we drown when it rains, you know? I'm glad. God put the body in the right places, in the right parts. And when it's fit together, it works together. That's the body of Christ. When it fits together, it works together. And it works together to bring glory to God, to function for the cause of the edifying and the building up of the body of Christ and the local church, to make us more like Jesus Christ, and using that to reach this sin-sick, lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why He's giving it to you.
And yet we've got people who are content just to sit week after week, month after month, year after year, and let everybody else do all the stuff. And we just sit here and watch the show. And that's why God can't bless our church, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do. You wouldn't have a pastor standing in front of you week after week, pastoring and preaching, that wasn't called to do it, that didn't have the spiritual gifts to do it, would you? You shouldn't. Then why in the world are we content to let people serve in the church that are not gifted? And yet people who are gifted, we're content to let them sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else do it. If God's given you the gift of leadership, brother, you better get leading. And you better get involved leading and doing what God's gifted you to do. And there's some men in this church that need to step up. There's some women in this church that need to step up and start doing what God's called you to do. And people sit around all the time, well, why can't we do this? And why, where'd they all go? Why don't we have more here? Why don't we have more in this class? Why don't we have more on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights? I don't know. Maybe we ought to find out who's not using their gifts. Those of you that have got the gift of teaching, you better find a class to teach. Those of you that got the gift of leading and ministering, encouraging, all those gifts that we listed, find a way to use that gift in this church. That's what the body of Christ is for. Every single one of you, there's an opportunity here for you to serve God. We shouldn't have to spend all of our time going around trying to get somebody to fill a position. What we should be doing is have all these people who are gifted to serve standing in line saying, let me do it, let me do it, let me do something. And we should be spending all of our time going, let's find something for them to do. Let's find something for them to do. Let's start a new class. Let's start a new ministry. We ought to be doing all of that. Instead, we got stuff that can't get done because people are sitting around not doing what God's called them to do. Now, I know you're not supposed to jump up and shout an amen on this sermon this morning. I know that. But let me ask you this. How are you contributing to the building up of the body of Christ? How are you a part of making the church more like Jesus Christ? How are you doing it this morning? I would not be the biblical, God-honoring pastor this morning if I didn't tell you that some of you need to get right with God today because you're not doing what God's gifted you to do. And it's obvious because the church, our church, is struggling. There's some things we can't do. There's some places we can't go. There's some things we can't get done because there's not anybody to step up and say, I want to use my gift in serving God. So right now this morning, the question is, what has God given you to do? If you don't know what that gift is, that's fine. I understand that. Some of you this morning, this is new stuff. Some of you have heard it but hadn't been explained clearly. Now you begin to understand it clearly. I understand. You may not be able to look at, oh, there it is, hot dog, I know what it is. No, that may not be to you this morning. You may be sitting there and going, I'm not real sure. And that's where you got to decide. I'm going to find out. I want God to reveal it to me. God's not playing hide and seek with you. God's not playing peekaboo with you this morning. He's not trying to hide His will and His gift for you this morning. He wants you to do it. But you got to want to. You got to get down on your knees and you got to get in the Word. And you got to let the Holy Spirit lead you. And you got to let God show you what God wants you to do. That's where we need to start this morning. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? Jenny, we're not going to sing. How about that? Vicky, just come play something very beautiful and softly like we always, like you always do for us. And whatever you feel led, you use your spiritual gift this morning to choose that. How about that? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I know I didn't preach a salvation message for folks to be saved because I just really felt led that this is something that if we don't get corrected and get right, we're not going to be able to reach lost people through this church. And I know there are a bunch of people gone on vacation. I pray some of you will get on Facebook or text somebody and tell them Hey, if you missed this morning, if you're out of town, you need to listen to it on the website and listen to it on iTunes. You need to hear this message. Not because I preached it, but because this is what God has for us this morning. God's got something for every single one of you. He's got something for me. He's got something for you. And I've had to evaluate my gifts this morning. As I prepared this message this week, I was evaluating my functionality. I was evaluating my working of the spiritual gifts in my life. And I'm challenging you to do the same. It's not up to the nominating team to determine who's supposed to do what in the church. I got news for you. These people are not the Holy Spirit. And that is not their gift. Your gift has been given to you. And when you discover that, it is your job and your responsibility to say, listen, I can do this. I want to do this. God's given me to do this. Where can I do this? It's our responsibility as a church to make it happen. We don't have to be a big church. We don't have to have all the loud and the shiny, and we don't have to have all the latest. That's okay. If people's got that, that's fine. They got to do their gift, and we got to do our gift. But I'm afraid that some of us have gotten content enough just to let everybody else do it. And we're going to sit on the sidelines, and we're just going to watch. And if something doesn't happen that we like it, we'll complain. And if service goes too long, we'll gripe about it. If the music's too loud, we'll complain about it. If they sing songs we don't like, we'll talk to somebody else and complain about it. And yet we sit here and do nothing to help. Somebody ought to be working with the children. Yeah. What about you? What about somebody over here? Listen, folks, I'm not the Holy Spirit either. I can't tell you what God's gifted you to do. It's not my job to do that. My role is to teach you, is to disciple you, to direct you, to guide you into following God for your life. My job is not to do all the work. My job is to point you to the work you're supposed to be doing. I think sometimes we've got it all messed up. So I just want you to quietly, as you've been allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. Vicky's going to play, and I'm going to ask every one of you to stand. Just stand right where you are. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're not going to sing a song this morning. I just want you to concentrate on the Holy Spirit speaking to your life. Maybe some of you need to get on this altar and confess your sin of your lack of doing what God's had for you to do. Maybe some of you just need to come on the altar and say, God, I want to know. I don't know what my gift is, but I want to know. I want to get on this altar and say, God, show me. I volunteer. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do. Future of this church. Now, when I say future, I'm talking about next week and next month. Depends upon right now for us to determine if we're going to follow God and use the gifts He's given us. You might be shocked to hear what you're going to hear soon. But it's time. We start serving God and correct the misunderstanding that it's all about somebody else. No, it's all about you. It's about God working in your life to do something for Him. And you're missing it if you don't give it to Him. Lord, I want to pray right now for my church family. As their pastor, I love them more than they realize. I care for them more than they can understand. I want them to know that out of my heart this morning, I have delivered my soul.
a teaching and a message that I believe it will change their lives, will change this church, if we'll just obey it and heed it. I think we misunderstand sometimes that only the talented, the well-known, and outgoing are supposed to do the work of God. That's not the case. God, you've given something for every single one of us to do. Every man, every lady, every teenager who's standing in this building this morning or sitting in a pew this morning, if they're saved, God, you've got a gift. It's in them right now. And God, they just need to find out what it is and use it for your glory. So God, I encourage them to do that. I encourage them to seek out, find ways to use what it is you have for them to do. I wish, Lord, that you had given us some kind of way to know what those are in those lives, but it's not. And I'm thankful that I don't know. All I do know is what you've given me to do. And I pray that I've done that this morning. I pray that I've been obedient in teaching right from the Word of God what this church needs to hear. So I pray that it'll change our lives, it'll change our church, it'll change our outlook of ministry and everything that we do. But Lord, most of all, I pray that it'll make us more like Jesus Christ. May this church be a shining example of what it means to follow Jesus and to serve Jesus with joy and in love. There's a great work that needs to be done. There's things that need to happen. God, I pray that it will happen for your glory. Thank you for our church. Thank you for every person, every member of this body. They're important. They have a function. And let us fit it all together, Lord. Let you fit it to us together to bring honor and glory to your name. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.